This morning, I plan to bring a qualification message for our upcoming minister ordination. So we are weeks away from that. And I'd like to start out by handing out this. Tim and Marcus, if you would please come here and distribute this handout. I'd appreciate it. Should be enough. There should be enough for most everybody. Does anyone else need one who's missing? Any of you? Any of you children want one? You have? We can follow along. Anyone else? Okay. Brother Duane, this recording can stay here at the 4th Avenue site. No, it doesn't need to go further. Thank you. As I pondered and as I prepared for this sermon, it always brings some self-awareness because we're going to be speaking about a work that qualifications for a work that I've been called into, and so it is there's some self-evaluation that goes into looking at these qualifications and thinking about them. Now, I think most of you were here a couple of weeks ago when Brother Edwin preached a message for us, and it was, I felt like he covered the heart of the work and the qualifications very well. And is there any phrase that stands out to you from Brother Edwin's message? Yes. A herald, that's probably what you were going to say as well. And a herald, someone who proclaims. And he made that point as only Brother Edwin can. And so this document that you see before you, I just want to reference, we'll talk about it a little bit. I don't plan to preach through every point of this document. But it's really a document that's for you to take along home with you, to lay on your desk. And as you go forward here, if you are being a responsible member, brother in this church in particular, you're going to be thinking about this work of nominating, and we'll talk about that more specifically a little bit later, but you're going to be thinking about this work, you're going to be thinking about the ordination, and you're going to be thinking about qualifications, and rightly so. And this document, if you look in particular, if you open it up, Numbers 1 through 13 are all points, scriptural basis, scriptural qualifications for the work of a minister, the work of a leader in the church. And then the opening statement of it, coming back to the front page, just gives you a little bit of background. If you'll notice the third paragraph, I'd like to just look at that for a moment. The first sentence starts out, we follow the biblical practice of finding a brother from among us to take up this responsibility, and I believe that is a biblical and sound thing to do. I believe it is also a pattern you see in the scriptures ordaining elders in every city. That would, in and of itself, make it clear that the elders are those who are being taken from that city, from among them. One of the points I'd like to highlight here is just this thought of plural ministry. And I especially thought of it again as I listened to Brother Sim preaching about servant leadership. And I believe one of the tools or one of the helps to servant leadership is plural ministry. In other words, there's a number of us who have a similar charge and are being held accountable within that group and so on beyond that. And it just takes the highlight off of one person. It takes the emphasis off of me. And it takes the emphasis off of just my personality. And it takes the emphasis off of my particular viewpoints. And I need to be okay with that. And I want to be okay with that. And I am okay with that. In fact, my desire is that to broaden the base of leadership rather than narrow it, because I believe that it will be the best for myself, it'll be the best for this group, and it'll ultimately be the best for the kingdom of God. And I have a friend from Protestant background, and we don't see each other very often. He's an older gentleman, but when we do, he always says, "How are things going at your church? And is your church growing?" And I know, okay, so I can appreciate one level of the question, but there's another dimension to that question that I believe that he is misunderstanding. And that is that somehow this is, you know, this is everything that happens here is some direct connection to me or an expansion of that. And I'm so thankful to say, well, our church is well, we've been blessed. And I've explained to him the fact that, you know, I am one of the leaders in the church. I have other brothers who are my peers in leadership in the church, and so on. And that's important. And I believe it's very important, because just recently I made a delivery and I was on the grounds of a large church building. And as I was there, the cars were coming in and out. There was a daycare going on. There was a lot of activity around that building for a Tuesday morning. And as I looked at that, I thought about it. Do you know, somewhere there's the lead pastor here, and he's, maybe I'm skewing things, but so many times you see a lot of emphasis being given to the top one man. And this is his organization, and he's operating it, and so on. And I don't want to be overly critical of that, but I think you can just look at some of what you see, you know, some extremes in that. And maybe one extreme is Lakewood Church and Joel Osteen. Okay, maybe you can make that one of the extremes, where it's bring more people to hear one man in a larger event. And we actually believe that it's better to keep it small and divide it and spread the responsibility so that it doesn't become oriented towards one man. If you want to talk about one man, let's talk about one man, Jesus Christ, and let that be the focus. And so I think it's a good foundation. One of the reasons I just wanted to say what I've said here is because it helps to all of us, I think, to understand the reason for additional leadership and understand just the place of additional leadership. It's just to spread the burden. It's to spread the responsibility. It's to spread the accountability. And it is to bless the church. So if you come down to the fifth paragraph, the next to last paragraph on the front page, it gives you the main intention of this pamphlet. It's to give you some time before the nominating service. It's to urge you to participate in this in a meaningful and wise way. Much depends on the spiritual condition of the congregation as to how the Holy Spirit will lead and bless the congregation with good, faithful, and able brother for the ministry. And so this is being shared, you know, 2 weeks and a day in advance to the nomination service. And I'm hopeful that you will make use of this document to help you in your thinking, in your processing of this event. I may call some more attention to this as we go along here this morning. I'd like to look at some additional thoughts here and what is the purpose of this qualification service? What is the purpose of bringing out this document? And I want to think about the ordination process. And there is a process. We're in the process. We've started the process quite a while ago. And so let's just talk about that. These ordinations, they don't just happen. This isn't something that's just coming out. It's not a surprise to you this morning. And so it's the results of many people working together. And all parts play a role in this. Laity here, the ministerial team that is already, and the bishop and the bishop guidance, the board that is brought into this. But going forward and thinking more specifically going forward about nominations, it is your nomination which provides the framework of the ordination. Up to this point, it's been just talk. Up to this point, it's been prayer. Up to this point, there's been some decisions made that we're going to move forward. But the first sort of step into that is the day that nominations are taken. And we'll think about that just a little bit more as we go along here. And so the reason we have this discussion, the reason we have this, I'm not sure if you'd even call this a message this morning, but the reason we have a document like this is to encourage. It's to promote involvement because we believe that knowledge is helpful in that. Information is helpful in that. Openness is helpful in this thing of preparing for an ordination. And so we want this to be a time of building trust and so on. Fear, apprehension, insecurity are all typical emotions that surface in an ordination. Why is that? Why is that? Any butterflies? Why? Well, it's because it's change. Often that's one of the reasons why. It's change. We're talking about change this morning. And just so you all know, we're not just talking, when I say we're talking about change, I really mean we are talking about change. That change is close to being as real for me and Ernest as it is for anyone else that's here this morning. So we fear things like how additional leadership will change the church. We think about, we'd just be okay with things staying the same. We're not sure if we really want change. But change is one of the constants of life. Change is not to be considered a bad thing. Sometimes change can have change really is an amoral thing. It's not right and it's not wrong. But there is a time and a place for change, and that's what we're thinking about here this morning. And so, to be honest, or just to be clear, I'd like to say it that way, to be clear, what initiated this change was my request to Brother Duane and to Brother Ernest that I would like to see someone to share in the work of minister. It wasn't like it was an unspoken thing prior to that. I think Ernest had asked me a time or two if I've ever considered it or what I'm thinking, and I said, I'm thinking. We discussed it, but finally there was a day when, in a conversation that Duane and Ernest and I were having, I said, well, I brought up this question, brought up the proposal, brought up the idea, and said, I think we should seriously consider this, and I'm putting in my request. And so that's what advanced that from there. And so there was discussion that went from there, and that's part of why, that's why we're looking at change. But you know, change occurs without everyone's permission. Change is a part of God's big plan, and He allows and brings things into our lives, and so we need to accept that. Day of our death is set without our permission, and ordination plans go forward. And change is brought into your life, and you know, your father and mother may not have any say in it. Your wife or yourself may not, but God can bring these change into your life, and so we need to accept that. Well, what are we to do with this idea of change and the fear that it can bring with it? I think we need to recognize a couple important things, and that is that ordinations are a normal part of church life. And you look at Acts, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 6:1, if you will. Let's look at a verse there. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And so we know the account here is when the deacons were ordained. But I just want to notice that right here you see multiplication and change happening. And so there was growth, there was activities. What had started with 100 some people in a room, in the upper room, waiting on the coming of the Holy Ghost, had turned into thousands of people in the city of Jerusalem in particular, and there was great change. And here we see this change being bringing pressure. And so it's normal to have a need for leadership. And I believe that that need exists here in this congregation. It's normal to ordain leaders for that need. And Titus was given the responsibility to go ordain elders in every city. And so that responsibility was given, and we see the instruction. We could go over to 1 and 2 Timothy. We could go over to Titus 1, and we may turn to that later. And you see the qualifications given. You see direction being given, and it is serious work. Ordinations are serious work, and that's why it's a sober thing. That's why it's a light thing. It's not a light thing. It's not taken lightly. Brother DeWayne says that ordination work is among some of the heaviest work that bishops do. And I believe that. I think I've seen that a little bit, been able to see that and understand that. Do you know, one of the key things that's needed in an ordination for this to go forward is this word surrender. Regardless of what God's will is for your life or for my life or your life, surrender is needed in accepting God's plan for your life. And that's why we often sing a song like, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." We sing songs like that. I just want to say this. While ordination is sobering and it's a heavy work and all of that, it is also a joyful work. And I don't want to get along I don't want people to get a hangdog, a long face look. Head hanging down. It is serious, it's sober, it's heavy, it's life-changing, it's all of that. But God has a plan. And wherever God's will is, I believe that's where my brethren desire to be. And so in that, we can find some courage, freedom, joy, and I'd like to encourage that this morning as well. Well, there's four steps I just want to walk through here. I see that the clock is moving along, and I'll try to do the same. Well, first of all, we evaluate a need, and I've talked through some of that as four steps of ordination. We evaluate a need, and so that typically starts with the office. And so if a bishop's needed, it starts from the bishop saying, "I need a helper." If a, Ministers needed, it starts from the office of a minister. I need a helper. If a deacon's needed, it starts from the office of a deacon. I need a helper. But the point is, that's where it initiated from. However, it's very possible that conversations have been ongoing prior to that. But there's an official request and so on. So after that, the question goes to the bishops. And Brother Duane, and he took it to the bishop board. They discussed it. They said, look, we're ready to support it. We honor your request. The next step is taken. It goes to the ministry. This time it was a district ministry where from our three churches talked about it, asked questions, discussed it. Are there qualified men? Is there really a need? Is it too soon since there were other changes like our ministry leaving here? Two men leaving to start life in Christ. Those kind of things are talked about, and so on. And when those things were understood and there was approval there, this congregation was given the opportunity to weigh in. It was announced. It was shared. There was time given for thought. And finally, a vote was taken. And that vote was taken last fall, and that was given strong support. And so a date was set, and that date is October 13, 2017. The next step of this process of is nominating a brother. And that is the most critical part of the laity's role. And this work will largely depend upon the spirituality and the contribution of the laity. They're going to speak into this in a very powerful way, not only in giving their blessing, number one, but secondly, in nominating the people who will be in focus in this work. And really, we, as anyone who is in leadership, simply will need to work with what this body puts forward. And we'll talk about that just a little bit further. That date, the nomination date, by the way, is set for Monday evening, the 9th, October 9th. So that is set for Monday evening. And I just want to say this, as you think about this next couple of weeks, that especially the week of the ordination, from October 9th on, it's not a good time to be going on a trip, or it's not a good time to start some major project at work. If you can push it off a week, do that, or if you can get it accomplished beforehand, keep your schedule open, because you don't know who, what, who, or how God's going to speak into your life in this week. It's a searching time, this nominating of a brother. Holy Spirit-directed people will be evaluating and nominating other Holy Spirit-filled people. And it's a process in which we look at each other and we identify. We try to, by the grace of God and by the qualifications established in the Word of God and sort of consolidated in this, we consider our brother, and we seek God's direction in who to nominate. Qualifications are more important than social standings or reviews. Maybe this man is tall and handsome, or maybe he's short and stocky. That's sort of beside the point. And it's not whether he's rich or he's poor, but rather knowing the issues of the heart. You really should nominate those who you know, and that's why we nominate from among us. And we are a brotherhood, and we are in fellowship together, and we're close. You know, David, there in 1 Samuel chapter 6, when he went over, I went back and just read through that account to think about that. When Elijah went over, or let me just go back and look at that. I believe it was. I was thinking more about David and his brothers, chapter 16. When the prophet went to find a leader in Jesse's household, here comes the eldest brother, a handsome man. This must be the one. He passed before. And another, and another, and another, and another. And God wasn't choosing any of them. God wasn't speaking and saying, this is the man, pour oil on him. And finally he said, is there anyone else? Well, there's the youngest. He's out doing the dirty work. Yeah, call him in. And that young man come before, and God said, that's the man. And so it didn't fit what the prophet had been considering. And so we need to keep those things in mind. It's out of the heart that the issues of life are lived, and we use the scriptures as a template to determine these qualifications. Everyone's expected to be involved. We're thinking about the nomination process. The more counselors there is, that's how wisdom is established. And so we welcome and expect, actually, every brother 20 years and older is asked to come into the council room. And so it's going to be expected that if you're 20 years or older, you'll be asked to come to the council room and share your nomination or blessing. And if you do not have a nomination to share, that certainly is accepted. But we do not want to, we choose to do that to not create the, four men go out, you sort of know what four men nominated. And so by asking all the men to come out, whether they give a nomination or not, it takes the focus off the men who went out. And so it's not necessary that a nomination be given. See, it's not like that's if you come out and you don't have a nomination, that's not some check mark against you. But at the same time, nominations are needed. And so we welcome those and believe that wisdom is established in many counselors. So when you come to the council room, you'll be welcomed in and you'll be asked for your nomination. And it's not uncommon for the young men to it's more common for the older men of the congregation to have, and maybe some of the younger men don't have. It doesn't need to be that way at all. It's just those are some norms that happen in that council room. Usually it's not uncommon if somebody has just recently moved into a congregation, they may not have a nomination. Or they may. It's not like it has to be one way or another. But again, the point is to nominate those which you know, have gotten to know and understand their heart and believe that they have those qualifications. Ordination process relies on two things: my willingness to be involved and my desire to have that involvement completely Holy Spirit directed. And those are two very vital parts of making this nomination service work. There are things that can cloud judgment. One is family ties. And if you'll notice in our little booklet here, want to find mine because I had some notes on it. Yes, right here it is. On the back page, second to last paragraph, it's requested that you do not vote for someone from your immediate family. And so that's is something that we recommend and suggest. Immediate family would encompass father, brother, son, grandson, and in-laws. Because those ties, connections, can skew our ability to nominate. It can cloud the judgment. Business relationships, personal agendas, are all things that can cloud the judgment of someone given a nomination. Well, the nomination, the work of the nomination must be done in peace. I must be at peace about the process, and it requires trust. And so there's trust that's required. If you're going to go to the work and spiritual labor of finding God's direction in someone you nominate, you wish to know that that's being cared for and going to be handled rightly, judiciously, and so that's our desire. And so it's right that you would want to know and trust that what happens in that council room is clothed with integrity. It's done right. It's done in the open. It's done in the clear, and that there isn't any questions to it. And one of the things that we do just for clarity is, when the ministry go into that, those who are responsible to carry it out go meet together in that room, council room. They take, the bishop takes nominations first of all and gives his own nomination if he has one to give. And so that is written down, tallied by at least two men. Usually the bishop appoints two men. Often he is one man and there'll be another man appointed to record. And so the ministry give their nominations first of all, and then we open the nomination to the brotherhood. And so what that allows is freedom on behalf of the ministry to not be caught in a place of pressure where they can change the tally at the end by stacking their votes all in one column or something like that. You follow me on that? It's the kind of things that can happen, but not with our way of doing it, because we take that away from ourselves. And so we open that up. And so that's all taken care of beforehand. And so what I'm saying is, when nominations are done, we accept, just as you should accept, we accept that nomination, those nominations. When a man is nominated three times, we're committed to declare those names to the assembly. And there is time and place to question a nomination, and that is typically done afterwards in examination. And that's the next point that we'll look at. And so we ask you to be at peace. When you're ready to give a nomination, we ask you to be at peace with the qualifications that they are met, the biblical qualifications are met, and that you share it in good faith and believing that you are led by the Holy Spirit. All right, examination of a nominee, that's the third step, and we'll walk through that here just a little bit. So there is a time of examination, and if one man's name receives three nominations, or whether it's two or three men who receive those sufficient nominations, there's a time within two or three days where the bishops, a couple of bishops, the local ministry, sit with those nominees and examine them. Prior to that examination, they're given questionnaires to fill out, and often you're going to want to give a day to that, to ponder that and to work on that. And but it's not a time of gotcha questions so what exactly do you believe on this point? Well, maybe there'll be some of those conversations, and maybe there is some doctrinal belief that you'll be challenged on. It's very possible. It is a time of examination. Is this someone who is in good faith of the church by his answers today? Maybe a brothers who gave nominations didn't understand or didn't know what the examination questionnaire uncovered. Maybe in a doctrinal belief or something. But the point is, whatever comes out of that, if in fact there is reason to withdraw someone from that class or as a nominee, that has to be shared. It has to be explained. It has to be laid out. There's no choice in that. You can't just sort of withdraw someone on, we don't want to really expose what's going on, so we're going to just withdraw them and you'll just have to trust us. You sort of lose that ability. You're going to have to at least lay out the reasons why a man would need to be withdrawn. So that takes place in the next couple days after the ordination, or after the nomination service. And finally, the ordination, it's the final final step, and we hand everything over to God. Now, that's in the case of a class where a lot is needed. In this assembly, there's been 4 ordinations so far, and 3 of those, there's been no lot necessary, and 1 there was. So we certainly accept both. We don't feel like a class is necessary. We feel like God's voice speaks through the assembly, and if a lot is needed, then we will use that to ask God to show us the man. Well, I think you all have been a part of numerous, many of you have had an opportunity to sit in a ordination service, and I don't plan to spend much more time on that. I will say, as I've thought about this, the build-up to this, we've just come through our communion services. We have revival meetings coming up here. It's going to be a time for us to gather together regularly as brethren and sisters, and we can be, you know, if there's something you're wrestling with in your life, allow this time of examination, not only in examining others, but allow this to be a time of examining your own life. It already has been doing that to me, and I believe it has been to you as well. And we have these nights of revival. Let's be revived together. Let's think and pray about this much. And in a few short weeks, we're going to need to take courage and follow this through. See this through to the end and to its conclusion. You know, it's important that we do desire God's will, not my will. Because if you go back over into Psalms, Psalm 106, verses 14 through 16, just turn with me there. Let's read that. We haven't turned to too many passages this morning. Psalms 106, verses 14 through 15. It's talking about the children of Israel here. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So the point is, at the end of the day, if we have a heart a hard heart, a heart of, I want this particular thing, I'm concerned about this particular thing, so that's how I'm going to nominate, and I really hope that brother gets in, and I really hope that we get this thing pointed in a certain direction. Guess what? God just might give it to you and more. So the point is that we're to lay down our will by God's grace, endeavor to take the Bible qualifications, nominate who we feel fits those, and then rest in God's plan for our congregation. And I believe in that God will give us his blessing. And he will establish our work, Psalms 90. He will establish our work. And there's no greater desire I have for this work than that God would establish it. And I'll be given an opportunity to give my testimony before the ordination, but I'll say it here. Now, I look forward to, and I'm willing to work with and submit myself to the brother that God calls to this office. Let's kneel together for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we fall down here before you and
We thank you, O God, for your church. Thank you for your plan for mankind, this opportunity to come together in an assembly and a household of faith. And we thank you for this brotherhood. And I just pray, O God, that you would go before us. I pray that you would work in our hearts, help us to know, God, to who to nominate and how we should proceed in the next couple of weeks. And so we give this to you. And we do pray that you would give us, out of your bounty, out of your blessing, out of your storehouse, help our will, our hearts, our desires to be your desires. I just pray that you would sanctify our hearts, cleanse us. I pray that this would be a time of internal soul searching and heart cleansing, and I pray that it would be a time of growth in our church. I pray that there be no room given for unrighteous judging and spirit of pride and contention, but that it would be one of humility and seeking your will. So we just give all of this to you. I pray that we could go from this place in peace, trusting, resting in you. Thank you again for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the remission of sins. Thank you for imputed righteousness. Thank you for all those things that allow us, by your grace, to even stand in this place. Oh God, you know that we're unworthy servants. So I just pray now that you bless us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll have another song, and then Brother Marcos, would you please come forward, make any closing comments you wish to make, and lead us in a closing prayer. Thank you.